Hey, well, if you missed out last week on our big 25-year celebration, you missed out. Man, I don't know what to tell you. You just missed out. It was so cool. It was so fun. A chance to celebrate what only God can do, what he's done over the last 25 years, what he's continuing to do, and what he's going to do in the coming 25 years. So it was really neat. That was just a little bit of a peek at what took place last week. Well, have you ever made a dumb, come up with a dumb idea? I mean, you knew that it was a dumb idea, maybe even introduced it as a dumb idea, and yet in spite of the fact that it was such a dumb, just goofy idea, it kind of took off. It kind of gained some momentum of its own. I've had a lot of dumb ideas. Most of them don't go anywhere, but a few of them have had that. They just kind of gain a life of their own, and next thing you know, they're just taking off. They gain momentum, and they go. Some of you parents are going to hate me for probably telling this story, but when I was a junior in high school, I came up with one of these dumb, goofy ideas. I had the dumb idea to have a ditch day for our whole junior class. Man, that would be really cool. And it was a small school, but nevertheless, that's if you do it, it's like a fourth of the whole student body that's just going to be gone, ditch school. So I kind of floated this idea to some friends, and I was the class president, so not a good example on my part, but I kind of float this idea, and it's a dumb idea, but it kind of gained some steam. I mean, it kind of took off. And next thing you know, it's spreading through the whole junior class, this big kind of secret deal, and we decided to do it. And one of the guys in the junior class, he talks to his parents, and they invite us over to their house to have, back up. I didn't realize it. He lies to his parents and tells them that it's a holiday, and he gets his house opened up for us, so we have this great big pool party with all kinds of food and stuff. So the day comes, and everybody, practically everybody in the junior class ditches school, all but like two or three people. So we go over there, we have a blast. I mean, it's all kinds of fun, but somewhere along the line, the secret kind of leaks out, and administrators at school find out about it. So in the early afternoon, they call the parents. The parents find out this is a whole big hoax, and when we're supposed to be in school. So at about 2 o'clock, we get booted. I mean, the whole party, I mean, it's like, woo, it gets cold. I mean, icy around there with the parents and this guy. He's in really some big trouble. And we get booted, and then we get suspended from school for the next day, which, punishment? I don't know about that. That was fine with me. I mean, that's another day off. So that was a Friday. The next one was a Monday. So it's like a four-day weekend. I mean, this was awesome. But it was a dumb, goofy idea. It really was. But it caught on. And it just gained the momentum of its own. I've had some dumb, goofy ideas when it comes to things to illustrate messages. And a lot of them we just scrap, but occasionally one will kind of gain some steam and some momentum. A few years back, I had a trampoline up here on stage that we use. One time I drove a little tractor, a small excavator tractor deal out on stage and stuff to make, some kind of point. But one of the dumb, goofy ideas that I had was to use a bow and arrow to make a point, to shoot at a target. Well, I never used a compound, I don't know about never, but very seldom had I shot a compound bow. So I started practicing so I'd make sure I could hit the target. And I'm working on it, and then outside, and then a few days right before the weekend where we were going to use this, I come into the auditorium here, and I practice up against the back wall. We put the target back there, and I'm practicing, and something happens, and I slip while shooting, and one of the arrows ends up embedded in the wall way back up there. And also, man, I get nervous. Man, what if this happens during a service, And everything went well, and then the service, nobody got hurt. I think everybody backstage was extra nervous that weekend. But it was just a dumb, goofy idea. But it took off, and we went with it. When Scripture, there is a famous miracle that we hear about. It's the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus, it's actually more than 5,000 because it says it's 5,000 men. So there were probably, most likely, another at least 5,000 women and probably that many kids and stuff. So probably 10 to 15,000 people. But Jesus feeds them all with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What's so interesting is that it starts out with kind of Jesus asking kind of a roll your eyes kind of question, kind of a goofy question. So if you have your Bible, I want you to see this. We're going to be looking at this today. John chapter 6 in the New Testament. John is one of the 4 accounts of the life of Jesus. He's like mini biographies. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, and here's the question, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? I mean, they're out in kind of the no man's land, out in the boonies, the wilderness, and there are all these people there. They're way far away from here. They can't make it back home. So he goes, man, where are we going to find food to feed these guys? How much money do we have for this? Now, the disciples don't really say anything because it's Jesus, okay? But inside their minds, I mean, think about it. They're probably thinking, oh, that's a dumb, goofy question, isn't it? I mean, where are we going to find food for all these people? You know, how much money do we have? We don't know where we're going to find food. We don't know how much money we have. I mean, it's like, Jesus, you're the one who put the thief in charge of the money box, and he's been stealing all the money anyway. We don't know where we're going to get that. And yet, maybe, because it's Jesus, you know, Philip may have gone over and gotten in the money box to see, well, how much do we have? Can we do anything? He's like counting the money, $1, $2, $3, $5. You know, well, Jesus, you know, maybe we got enough to feed 10 or 20 one bite. You know, I don't know. But it goes on in verse 6, and look what he says. Jesus asked this, look at this, only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. It's going to take tons of money for them just to get a bite. You see, even though Jesus already knew the question, already knew what he was going to do, he goes ahead and asks the question anyway because he wanted Philip to do the math. He wanted Philip and the other disciples to figure out that logically, they couldn't do this. Logically, they couldn't do this with their resources. They couldn't do this with what they had. They couldn't do this on their own power, in their own power. They couldn't do this in their own strength. What he wanted them to see clearly and figure out was that this was an impossibility. And sometimes God allows us to experience different things and to go through different things in our life. And these things happen to us so we can figure out for ourselves that we can't handle this on our own. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain experiences in life so that we'll do the math. And so we'll come to the conclusion, I don't have the strength to handle this. I don't have the power. I can't do this on my own. Now, I love Philip's response here. I mean, it's so mean. I'm so quick to respond with excuses for my inability or my unwillingness, you know, to do whatever it is that Jesus wants me to do. I mean, it's like, love that person? What? You know, forgive them after what they did to me? You know, be generous to them? Trust them? God, trust you? Well, yeah, God, I would trust you, but God, you don't understand. I mean, you don't understand what I'm feeling. I don't think you really fully understand, you know, what I've been through recently in my life. But I love this. I mean, Jesus' seemingly dumb question leads to a seemingly dumb idea. Andrew comes up with a little boy. Have you ever had a dumb idea? Any of you had a dumb idea? Raise your hand. Okay. Some of you had a dumb idea. Okay, yeah, we've all had some dumb ideas there. But have you ever had a dumb idea where you knew it was a dumb idea and you for some reason still felt like you needed to share this dumb idea. You know it's a dumb idea, but you want to share it anyway. And so you kind of introduce it by letting people know that you know it's a dumb idea. You know, I know this is a dumb idea, but, and you share it anyway. You go out and you show, well, here's Andrew's dumb idea. It goes on in verse 8 and says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Andrew goes, well, here's this boy. He's got, you know, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But and before he even gets it all out, he's probably already turning his back and leaving the whole deal because it's just such a dumb idea. I mean, it's not going to work. And he's probably already given up on it. But Jesus doesn't blow it off. Jesus doesn't think it's a dumb idea. Jesus, in fact, goes, good idea. Bring him over. Bring the little boy over and have him bring his 2 fish. Have him bring his 5 loaves. You see, you never know when God is going to use what appears to be a dumb idea to release his life-transforming power. You just never know. 5 loaves? 2 fish? It's a dumb idea. But a dumb idea plus Jesus can equal life transformation. So this boy brings him what he has. He brings him his little sack lunch. He says, Jesus, here it is. And then he gets out of the way. And that's what we need to do. We need to bring Jesus what we have and then just get out of the way. It may just be a little sack lunch. We need to bring Jesus what we have. So if you're taking notes, number one, first thing that we need to do is we need to bring what we have to Jesus. We need to bring what we have to Jesus, even though it's insufficient, even though the truth of the matter is it's not enough. Whatever it is that we have, it's not enough. But we need to bring it to Jesus. And that's what this kid did. He brought what he had. No more, no less. Now, obviously, the little boy had prepared ahead of time. He was wise. He's ready. He brings a sack lunch with food in it. He was prepared. And we need to be wise too. We need to be prepared. We need to do our part. But then we need to hand what we have over to Jesus. We need to hand it over to him and get out of the way. Now, what does it mean? What do you think it means to pack our lunch? What does it mean to be ready? Not to presume on God and expect him to just do everything in our lives or in our surroundings, in our circumstances. What does that look like for us? I think it means just giving God our best, giving him all we have, but then leaving the results with him. Now understand, Jesus didn't need what this little boy had. He didn't need his fish. He didn't need his loaves of bread. I mean, he could have taken 2 rocks and 5 branches and turned them in to a lunch for all of these people, but he didn't. He used what this kid offered voluntarily. You see, that's how God tends to work. He tends to not just do it, he tends to use us to work in and through our lives, in and through people, and what we offer him, what we bring to him. The little boy brought him what he had. He gave it to Jesus. And Jesus used it to take care of the needs of this entire crowd. With Jesus, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. You bring what you have to Jesus, and he can do the unthinkable. That's why we need to bring what we have to Jesus. You'll never know what God can do with what you have in your life until you bring what you have to him. And that's why I love partnering with God. We just need to bring him what we have, whatever it may just be a little sack lunch. It may not be enough. In fact, much. It's never enough, actually. We just need to bring him what we have and leave it with him. So the kid, he brings Jesus what he has, but he didn't say, here's what I have, Jesus, here, I'm bringing this to you, and if you'll take the bread and you'll break it this way and this way and this way, then this way, or Jesus, if I'll bring you my lunch, but Jesus, then if you'll ask everybody else if they have some food out there and we could combine, maybe do like a big buffet or a big potluck deal or anything like that, he doesn't do that. But isn't that what we do a lot of times? Jesus, here's what I've got. I'm bringing you what I have. And if you'll do this, we try to instruct Jesus on what to do. We try to tell him what we think that he should do. Jesus, here this is. Jesus, here's my life. You know, and if you'll use it this way, here's how you can get the most out of my life. Here's how you can use it in the best way and get the best results. And Jesus, here are my kids. And Jesus, you can use my kids here, and you can do this with my kids. And this, but I'd rather you not do this. I don't want you using my kids in this area here, because Jesus, I've got plans for my kids. So I've got this going. You don't need to intervene there. And I think Jesus would go, what? Really? You're trying to tell me how to raise your kids? You're trying to tell me how to do this? How to handle this situation? You're trying to tell me how to maximize your life? You know, here's my house, Jesus. Here's my car. Here's my money. Here are my resources, my talents, my abilities. Here's my time, Jesus. And Jesus, you know, if you'll use it this way, man, you'll really be able to get the best results. And we try to tell him what to do. What we need to do is we need to bring Jesus what we have, whatever it is. It's never enough. But we need to bring Jesus what we have, who we are, and then we need to get out of the way. That's the second thing we need to do. Bring Jesus what we have. And then number two, we just need to get out of the way. The boy, he doesn't give Jesus instructions. He just gives him what he has. He gives what he has to Jesus, and then he gets out of the way. And when we get out of the way, that is when we are able to see the awe and the wonder of what God can do. But we got to get out of the way. That's what we need to do. We need to bring Jesus what we have and then get out of the way. Now, we need to stay available. We need to stay responsive to God. But we need to get out of the way. That is when we are going to see the awe and the wonder of God. It goes on in verse 10, and it says this. It says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. It says, there was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. It says, and then it goes on in verse 11. It says, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with a fish, it says. Now, I want you to imagine the little boy. And just kind of keep the camera lens, if you will, of your mind on the boy. Watch the boy's face as he watches Jesus take the bread out of his little sack lunch. And as he takes fish out of it. I mean, Jesus keeps reaching in and taking out bread. And reaching in, taking out bread. He reaches in and takes out some more bread. Reaches in and takes out some fish. Reaches in and takes out some bread. And can you imagine little boy standing over here? Wow. Wow. And Jesus just keeps reaching in, taking out fish. And the boy's eyes are just so big. And he just keeps doing it. Jesus just keeps reaching in and taking out bread and just taking out fish. And the little boy's like. And in that moment, that boy discovered the awe and wonder of God. Because he brought what he had to Jesus, and then he got out of the way. You see, awe and wonder come when we bring what we have to God, when we offer what we have, whatever little, whatever sack lunch, whatever it is that we have, when we offer God what we have and we get out of the way and we say, Lord, have your way with what I brought. And that's the third thing that we need to do. And this one is more implied. It's not spelled out, but it's implied here. Number three, we need to say, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, have your way with my dreams. Have your way with my career. Have your way with my job. Have your way when it comes to my plans. Lord, I want your will. I want your way, not my will. Not my way. God, I want your will in your way for my life. But that is so hard for a lot of us to say. But that's when we discover the awe and the wonder and the power of God. You say, God, have your way with my life. I'm going to bring you what I have. But some of you here, and you're kind of frustrated. You're frustrated because what you brought to Jesus, you brought some things to Jesus, but nothing's happened. But the problem is that you've brought it to Jesus, but you haven't let go of it. You've brought it to Jesus, but you keep holding on to it. You haven't moved out of the way. You're still trying to tell Jesus how to do whatever it is that he needs to do with what you're bringing to him. Jesus, here this is, but here's how you do this. You keep trying to tell him what to do with your life. You're bringing it to Jesus, but keep trying to tell him what to do with your talents, what to do with your dreams, what to do with your time, what to do with your energy, with your resources. You're holding the sack. You're trying to figure everything out on your own, and you're trying to control everything. Bring all you have to Jesus, and then get out of the way. Offer what you have to Jesus, and then get out of the way, so that you might experience the awe and the wonder of God working in you, working through you, working around you, working in the lives of others, working in the circumstances around you. Let me ask you, and when was the last time that you were amazed with what God did with your scarcity? When was the last time that you were amazed with what God did when you brought him your little sack lunch? When was the last time your scarcity became his abundance? When was the last time that you were blown away by what God did in your family? When was the last time that you were blown away by what God did in your marriage? When was the last time that you were blown away with what God did in our church? With what God did in your small group? When was the last time that you were blown away with what God did in our community? When was the last time that you were blown away with what God did in your business, in your place of employment, in your company? Because you were faithful and you brought what you had to God. And you said, God, here it is. I'm getting out of the way. Do what only you can do. When was the last time you were blown away with what God did in your school? When was that? When was the last time that you stood back in awe and wonder at the power of God being manifested and moving in the lives of others, moving in your life, moving in your circumstances, because you had brought what you had to Jesus? And you said, Jesus, here it is. I'm getting out of the way. Do whatever it is that you need to do in this situation. When was the last time you were blown away by the awe and the wonder of God? Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to visit the Christian Activity Center in East St. Louis. The director there is Chet Cantrell, and they're working with kids and teenagers, and God is changing lives. He's doing some amazing things. Their lives are being transformed. Hope is just blossoming. Kids, teenagers are coming to Christ there. Listen to this. Teen pregnancy is 6 times the national average in East St. Louis. 6 times the national average. But there's only a 3% teen pregnancy rate for those who are actively involved in the Christian Activity Center there. There are less than 11, there's less than an 11% high school graduation rate citywide in East St. Louis. Less than 11%. But the graduation rate for those who are part of the Christian Activity Center is 97%. Only 13% of students citywide go on to college in East St. Louis, but 74% of those at the Christian Activity Center advance to college. I'm telling you, they are making a difference. Members of our own church, Mark and Carol Mestemacher, in recent years were part of helping reopen the Jackie Joyner Kersey Center in East St. Louis. And as a result of that, they're now offering Christ-centered sports programs and Christ-centered activities and other programs. And lives are being touched, lives are being changed in a very, very difficult area. You know why? Because individuals came and they said, we're bringing you what we have. And then we're getting out of the way. And then they've just stood back in awe and wonder at the power of God moving in those environments. What would happen if we, each of us, were to bring what we have, our little lunch sack? It is not enough. It is never enough. But what if we brought our little lunch sack, whatever it is that we have, and we said, Jesus, I'm bringing it to you. Here, I'm doing my part. I want to be responsible. I want to cooperate. But God, here it is. And then we got out of the way and said, have your way. What would happen if we did that? I was a shy, quiet kid, scared to death to speak in front of people. But there came a day in my life where even though I'd struggled with it, I said, God, here's my life. And man, it was hard for me. I remember praying, God, I don't know if you can even use somebody like me, but if you can, I'm available. So here it is. I'm bringing it to you. And best I knew how, I tried to get out of the way. And I've stepped in and gotten in the way. And what I had was not enough. It still isn't enough. I remember the first time that I preached. I was in a little country church. I was in college. I stood up to speak. I was beet red. I was nervous. I was kind of shaking. And the message lasted 7 minutes. Literally. And then I was down. I don't think people got anything out of it, but they love the fact that they beat all the other churches to the restaurant that day. Okay, that was the good part. But I've looked back over the years at the awe and the wonder of God, and I keep looking at the sack lunch that I brought him. I'm just like, wow. 25 years ago, number of families, my wife and I, we brought Jesus our sack lunches. We brought him our talents, our abilities. It wasn't enough. And over the years, we've had many people like you with all kinds of talents and abilities. We have an incredible staff. And yet the truth of the matter is, as good and as amazing as all of you are, it's still not enough. It's not enough. And yet Jesus has taken what we've brought to him. And look at where we are today. Look at what God is doing. We just need to bring what we have to Jesus and get out of the way and say, have your way. Do what only you can do. God, do something special in people's lives. You see, when we bring God what we have and we get out of the way, we say, Lord, have your way. Lord, use me. Lord, do what you want to do with my time. Do what you want to do with my energy, with my resources, with my strengths, my talents, my weaknesses, my whatever. That's when we get to see and experience the awe and the wonder of God. Like that little boy, when he brought what he had and he got out of the way, that's when he experienced a miracle. I mean, it's amazing what can happen when we offer all we have to God. 2 fish, 5 loaves, it's not much. What we offer, it may not be much. It's amazing what God can do with it. Little boy offered him what he had. And Jesus did the unthinkable. It goes on in verse 12. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, saying, They ate till they were full is basically what it's getting at there. I mean, we grew up in my home. I have three boys, and man, it's hard to fill three boys. And then I'm there on top of that. But Melody learned to fix good spreads, and she would fill us up. She would fill us up. She fills us up to this day to capacity. That's what it's getting at. This is a picture of them getting more than enough. Just imagine, if you can, that little boy watching all those full people walking home. And then it goes on and says they had leftovers. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, he, talking about Jesus said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. And then verse 13, so they gathered them and filled. And look at this. They apparently started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. They gathered and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And what this is this right here. This is a picture of abundance. You see, God can take our little that we offer him. He can take our little sack lunches and he can multiply it. You see, what we bring him is never, ever actually enough. But he can take our insecurities. He can take our weaknesses. He can take our personality. He can take that little that we bring to him, that we offer him, and he can turn it into his abundance. Now, I don't know what happened to those 12 baskets. Now, we're not told in Scripture what happened, but I can just imagine Jesus' disciples getting a bunch of these baskets, maybe 5, maybe 6 of them, and loading this little boy down with the baskets. And maybe he's got these baskets, maybe they're stacked up over his head, and he's walking home that day. I mean, all he brought to Jesus was his little sack lunch, but he brought it to Jesus and got out of the way. He just saw the awe and the wonder of God. And now he's walking home, trying to balance all these baskets that he's got with all this food that he's carrying with him. And he gets close home, and he starts yelling, Mama, Mama, you're not going to believe what happened today. Mom, Mom, look at this. You're not going to believe it. That's the kind of thing that happens when we bring what we have to God. God can do more than we even dream or imagine. Look at this passage of Scripture, Ephesians 3:20. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We don't have to bring everything. We just have to bring what we have. It may just be a sack lunch. But when we bring what we have to God and get out of the way, it's amazing what he does. About 11 years ago, we had a group of individuals, families from Vandalia, start attending our campus in Edwardsville here. And they got involved. They became members, and they were excited about what God was doing here. And about a year or so into it, some of them came to me, and they said, Paul, would you be interested in helping us start a new church in Vandalia? We're going to bring a pastor in and start a new church. We wonder if you would be willing, if you guys here would be willing to be like the primary sponsors for that. And it was like, well, man, we want to help you out, but I don't know that I want to get in a situation where we're trying to tell another pastor what to do or not to do. But I'll tell you what, we'll be there as a resource to encourage you, to help you, give you advice, whatever we've learned. Man, we want to be here to support you guys. And then I threw out, this was just kind of a dumb, goofy idea. But I threw out, so I said, well, you know, I've heard recently about these churches that are doing kind of these multi-site things. And what you do is you go in and you start, in essence, a church, and everything is live. You have a ministry for your kids and your band and everything, just like we have here in Edwardsville. But the message is by video. There's a big screen that you bring in. The message is by video. And so basically you would end up with kind of Metro Vandalia. And I didn't think that idea would float very far. But they took it and they prayed about it and got together. And a week or two later they came back and said, man, that would be great. We would love to do that. And I was like, really? That was just a dumb idea. You know, Now we got to do research and find out a little bit more about how you do this. And what we've done is we've just kind of brought what we had to God. And then we've tried to get out of the way and just watch in awe and wonder what God's doing in Vandalia. This weekend, we're starting two new house camps. We're going to live stream the message in real time into two homes, one in Granite City, one in Glen Carbon. We're just bringing what we have to Jesus and trying to step back and just say, Jesus, do what only you can do. You see, when it comes to our house campuses, when it comes to our Vandalia campus, when it comes to our Edwardsville campus, we just want to stand back in awe and wonder and say, God, use us. God, do what only you can do. We want to surrender who we are, what we have to you. God, use us. It's not about me being great. It's not about you being great. It is about Jesus being great, his name being great. I want to keep giving God what I have and step out of the way and just watch and see the awe and the wonder of what God does as a result of me just bringing my little sack lunch to him. Well, that's what I want to do. You know what I actually do too often? Is I bring what I have to God, but then I start worrying about it. And I go, Jesus, here's my little sack lunch, but I don't know. And then I start trying to give him instructions. I start trying to tell him what he needs to do with what I'm bringing him. I get all uptight and worried. You remember the song Hakuna Matata in Lion King? Hakuna Matata means no worries for the rest of your days. Hakuna Matata. That's how we need to live. That needs to be our motto. Hakuna Matata, God, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to try to control everything. I'm not going to try to dictate and tell you what to do with my life, with my plans, with my dreams. God, I'm just going to bring you my sack lunch. I'm going to bring you what I have, and then I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm not going to worry. Hakuna Matata. We need to bring what we have to just dumb ideas, goofy ideas, and all. It may not be enough. It may just be a little sack lunch. Bring it to God. You need to bring it to God and get out of the way and say, God, have your way with what I brought. God, do what only you can do. Have you brought all you have to Jesus in your marriage? I mean, you've done your part. I mean, you're kind of working on you. You're working on your issues, on your junk, your stuff, and you're trying to be as nice and forgiving and sensitive as you can be. But then you're saying, Jesus, I'm giving it to you, and I'm getting out of the way. Do what only you can do. Have you brought all you have to your job, to your school? I mean, you've done your part. You're working on your attitude. You're trying to do the best job that you can. Then you're saying, God, I'm getting out of the way. I do what only you can do. What's an area of your life where you keep trying to control things? You keep trying to instruct God and tell God what it is that he needs to be doing. And maybe it's multiple areas of your life, but I would just encourage you this week, just lock in on one of those areas and say, God, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Hakuna Matata. I'm just going to hand it over to you. I'm just going to give you, I'm going to bring you what I have, and I'm going to get out of the way. And just say, God, have your way. Do what only you can do. Quit trying to control everything. Quit trying to control all your relationships. Quit thinking that you putting in all these hours is going to make you happy and it's going to meet the needs of your family and in your marriage. Quit trying to plan out your kid's life. Quit trying to instruct God and tell God what he can do and what he can't do in your life. Quit trying to call the shots as to how God can use your time and your energy. Quit trying to control everything on your job and at school. Just bring what you have. Just bring your sack lunch, whatever your sack lunch is. Just bring it to God. Bring it to Jesus. And hand it over to him. And then get out of the way. Be responsive, be open, but get out of the way. Say, Lord, I just want to say yes to you. Have your way. I just want you, God, to do what only you can do. And then stand back and watch in awe and wonder what only God can do in you, through you, around you, in your circumstances, in the lives of others. Bring what you have to him. Get out of the way. Say, God, have your way. I want your will. I want your way. You bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, you want to do immeasurably more than all we can dream or imagine or ask as we bring you what we have and we get out of the way. God, we know it's not enough. And God, we know that you don't need what we have. And yet you invite us to be a part of what you're doing. We just say thank you for that. God, we don't want our will. We want your will. We want your way. God, we want to see all the wonder of your life-transforming power. And I would just say, if you're here today and you've never experienced life-transforming power, you never experienced the awe, the wonder of God, you never connected with God. I'm not talking about just some emotional little fuzzy feeling. I'm talking about a deep inner peace, sense of inner confidence and strength to face the challenges, the things that are beyond your control that you don't know how to handle. If you never experienced that, but you would like to experience it, you would pray in your heart. Say, God, I mean, where it all starts, experiencing the awe and wonder of God, it starts with bringing him yourself, bringing him your life, your heart. Say, God, I know I messed up. I made a mess of things, mess of relationships. But God, I am bringing you what I have. I'm bringing you my life. Placing my trust in you. I'm going to let go of trying to control things. I'm going to receive your gift of grace, your gift of forgiveness. Change my life. Do what only you can do. And I would love it if all of us here, every one of us in this room, would pray and say, God, I want to say yes to the adventure you have for my life. God, I want your will and your way, not mine. So God, today I want to bring you what I have and who I am. And I want to get out of the way and just watch and see and experience the awe and the wonder of your life-transforming power working in me, working in my circumstances, working in the lives of others around me. God, we want to say yes to you in whatever area of life you're working on. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.